This week, when I first woke up in the morning, these words of this song came to my mind. Four words. He lifted me out. And then the song started flowing. You know, when we wake up in the morning, our mind is going to take off on something. It can be the troubles that we're faced with. It can be a lot of things. I am thankful that on that day, my mind just immediately went to spiritual things. And I don't mean that at other days it goes to evil things. You know, we can wake up with the troubles that we went to sleep with the night before and just pick them up, start out the day with them again. There are so many other things that can fill our mind today. If we get caught up in political things, our mind can be so full that I don't have this to be my wake-up call in the morning. There are other things that fill it. I was just thinking, there has been something that has helped me since Monarch. I shut off the news. And there's nothing wrong with listening to the news. I'll probably do it again sometime. But you know what I found out in these weeks? It fills some spaces that God would like to have. I can have it filled with the dollars that are being spent are allocated for climate change. I can have it, my mind, thoughts going on the bills that are being passed for transgender laws. Just, it's the news, it's the things that go on today. But you know what, I can fill my mind with those to where the other is just kind of hushed out. And I wake up in the morning just picking up, you know, there's talk show hosts that go through the day, and the next morning there'll be another one that'll pick up with where they left off. Those are not sinful things. But you know, it says there's one thing that we can count on that'll give us perfect peace, and it wasn't the news. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So when I've lost it, when I just, my peace is gone, these things are the turmoils around me, and there's a lot of them in the world today, and they're real, and they're news. But Lord, help me to take a look at it and say, you know what? Because when I shut it out, I realized, you know what? There wasn't anything I was going to be able to do with it anyhow. It wasn't like they were going to call me and say, Dan, what do you think about this bill? If you're against it, would you tell us so we can change it? No. It's going to be done anyhow. It's just whether I'm going to worry about it. So what I could do is go ahead and just say some prayers like the Bible tells me to pray for those that are in authority. Lord, I would like to be able to lead a quiet and a peaceable life. And now, Lord, I got some room for you to be able to visit me. So this song came to my mind. Now here's some things that for me to be able to have those continually come to me, there are some things that I've got to do. Like to look at a couple of those. In Romans, the 12th chapter. 12th chapter, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But here's the part I'd like to look at. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be put into the mold that the world has for us, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how can I have my mind renewed? It gives me some instructions over in Philippians, the 4th chapter. You know, we talked about thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Here's another one that talks about peace. In the 4th chapter of Philippians and in the 7th verse, there's some things that can happen. 6th verse, it tells us, in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's something that'll happen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And then it gives me just a little instruction in the next verse. Those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, let's start thinking more and more on these things. It'll start filling all those little spaces where the news had been filling. Or maybe even then, whenever I hear the news, it doesn't sink in to me to where it's on my mind all the time. So with those, just don't want to have my mind to be taken up with the temporal things around me. So I want us to think a little bit about this. He lifted me out and the value of it. That song 479 says, I was out on the Broadway of sin and despair, crushed neath my burden of sorrow and care. You know, we can look around at others that come back with a testimony that I was deep in drugs or so many serious sins. But you know what? If I was just away from the Lord, I was in need of a Savior. It says, my constant companions were troubled and doubt, but then something happened till Jesus reached down and he lifted me out. It says, he lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He settled my feet in the straight and narrow way. He lifted me up to a heavenly place, and he floodeth my soul each day with his grace. That's what is available for us today. And part of it is my job, but a whole lot of it is his job. What he says for me is, give me some space to be able to work with your mind, work with your heart. What does it say? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So more and more, I don't want to be fanatical about it, but you know what? I could be able to go through my day, take care of the business that I need through the day, and then my mind just slips back to thinking about God again. I think he would be pleased with that. So there was a verse I would like for us to look at over in Psalms. It tells us about what this song is saying. Psalms in the 40th chapter, and in the first verse, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. You know, it's pretty nice to be able to have my goings established. Have them settled to where I'm not just here and there, and I don't really have a good solid footing. And then he did something else. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. He brought me out of a pit. So, you know, we talk about Wednesday night prayer meetings. I want to have a testimony. You know, this song has a testimony in it. That last verse says, I have started for heaven. My heart is filled with song. Wandering is over. My sins all are gone. Through Jesus' own blood, cleansed within and without, oh, praise his dear name, he lifted me out. And if we want to see what you can be lifted out from, look at the world around us, of the pit that they're in, and just the things that I can get myself in, just and not sinful things, but just I can have my mind to get consumed to where I've lost the peace. Remember, Jesus said, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And you know, when he looked over Jerusalem and he wept, he said, if you'd only known the peace that I had for you. The peace that he had for them was not that they would be delivered from the Romans. The peace he had for them would have been inside while the Romans were still ruling. You remember where it says, if he compels you to go a mile, you go with him 2 miles. You'll be a little more tired for walking 2 miles, but inside you'll feel better about it. The change of the heart is what he was looking at. And you know what? That's what he's still looking at for us today. You get the heart changed, and these outward circumstances can all stay the same. I got my same problem still, but I have a different feeling about it. God has got it in control. So I was looking at Titus. Titus, the third chapter, and in the 4th through the 6th verse. After the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. not by works of righteousness that I had done. That's not where it came from. There are things that I need to do to be accepted. But that does not take the place of what Jesus Christ, our Savior, abundantly shed for us. There are some verses that I'd like to look at. What does lifted out really mean? Over in 1 Peter, First Peter 2:9, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Coming from something and going to something, he lifted me out. And there's another one in Ephesians. In Ephesians 2:1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He's made you alive. We were dead in sin and trespasses, and he has quickened us. He has made us alive now. He's the one that did it. In Colossians, there's another verse. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So these talk to us about coming from one position to another position, a change that comes about in our life. In 1 John 5:7 tells us what it takes. I'm not able to do it myself, and we find so many places that let us know that. 1 John 1:5, and starting in the 5th verse. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare it to you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So I would like to be a part of that. So this next verse tells me, if we say we have fellowship with him and we still walk in darkness, we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So if I say, I tell you what, I'm a Christian, I'm walking with Christ, but I still walk in darkness, their verses just let me know it's not going to work. He wants to lift me out of the life that I was living before. But look at this next verse, the promise that we have. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that blood that we talked about last week, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is what cleanses us from all sin. That's what does it. I was thinking of song number 127. It said the blood will work a perfect cure. It's going to cleanse the heart. What if it stopped there? What if it said, okay, the blood does one job. It saves you. Now you're on your own. It says it'll cleanse the heart, and then it'll keep you pure. It is able to work with us throughout the remainder of our life. The blood of Christ, when it's applied to my heart, it lifts me out of one place to another place. Have you heard this term? We all have before. A sinning Christian. Is that possible? Or sin more or less every day, and I'm still a Christian. Or I'm a sinner saved by grace. Now, you know, I've thought about this. The devil likes to play in half-truths. He works best when he gets a little bit of truth and works with that. He did it with Eve. You know, when she told him what God had told her, don't eat of this, lest you die. He gave her a half-truth. You won't surely die. You're not going to die. Well, you know what? She didn't die. So he did partly tell her the truth. Her natural body did not, but the spiritual body did. And he would like to work in half-truths with this. Because you know what? We have all been sinners. Where do we find that? I was looking at Romans 3 and 23. It's just a blanket statement. All have sinned. What's that past tense, though? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you know what? Every person that is ever born into this world is in need of a Savior. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what? Salvation is what makes that word sinner become past tense. I was a sinner. I am now saved by grace. You know, it says he cannot sin. Because his seed remains in him, he cannot sin. Now, wait a minute. You know how the devil would like to take half-truths and take them either way? One is you continue to sin and it's covered by the blood. When I look at these, while his seed remains in me, I cannot sin. You remember this morning, we came in late, but we heard that verse that says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So while I have that seed remaining in me and I am working with Christ, you know what? I'm choosing to sow the right seed all the time. Does that say it is not possible for me to ever sin? My choice? If I made my choice to go the other way, I would be able to do it. Because you know what? I am responsible for being able to let his seed remain in me. I am thankful that he's willing to help us with it. You remember the song Amazing Grace? Talking about being translated from one kingdom to another kingdom. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind at one time, but now I see. I am thankful for that change. And you know, the scripture wants to tell us often, I'm not able to do that on my own. So a verse I'd like to look at again is Ephesians, the second chapter, and in the 8th verse. In the 8th verse, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Through faith in what? The devils believed and they trembled. You remember when Paul and Silas talked to the jailer? He asked, "What must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe." That means have some faith. For us, it's have faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was the Son of God. You remember Hebrews 6 tells us, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe he is." You know, we've come to church for so many years. To us, we just know that. But you know what? To the world around us that has maybe never gone to church services, somehow they're going to have to believe there's a God. He had a son named Jesus, and he died on the cross and shed his blood that I would be able to be saved. Because it's saying, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's a gift from God. And you know what? For all of us to remember, our righteousness by itself won't be accepted. It's going to have to be, first of all, that I recognize this gift. Because it says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. I won't be able to say, you know what? I was able to attain my salvation by how well I lived. That won't be accepted. But I was looking at some promises that were given to us. One is over in Ezekiel. What God is able to do. Ezekiel 36 and 26. Talking about me being moved from one place to another, salvation doing that. "A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and it'll cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them." That's a promise from God. I got a new spirit. I won't just try to make the old one keep on working. A new heart. And what is the verse over in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17? "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." Folks, we can look around. It says, by their fruits you shall know them. You know what? As I go to work every day, there are people judging me also by my fruits. By their fruits, you will know them. Here's the fruits. If any man be in Christ, he's going to be a new creature. Old things, you know, here again, he lifted me out. I moved from this person to this person. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. There is a song that is sung sometime. It says, thanks to Calvary. You remember where the verse just said, I can't do it myself. I can't pick myself up and live good enough to be able to make the changes. But there was a verse in there that said, today I went down to the place where I used to go. You know, here's a man that has been lifted from this place. He lifted me out. I went down to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. There's a change that has come about in his life. And it says in the chorus, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Couldn't do it on our own. None of us can. But the blood of Christ applied to my heart can save me and keep me. And I am thankful for that. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than they were before. And it said, his testimony was, and as the tears ran down his face, he tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. What a change can be made. See, the world will say, believe on Christ. The religious world will say, believe on Christ. Believe he's the Son of God. Believe that he died on the cross to save you from your sins. And ask him to forgive you on a regular basis of your sins. The scripture says, I want to put a new heart in you. I want to put another spirit in you. I want it to be that you can have the testimony, if any man's in Christ, I can have the testimony, I'm a new creature. You know, really, when we got saved and we went to the baptism and we went down under the water, it was a testimony. Thanks to Calvary, this is not the same man that you used to see. A change has come, and I want this to be just a testimony to you that the old man has died. It didn't happen in the water. It happened when Jesus met him at the cross, and he prayed and was forgiven of his sins. But thanks to Calvary, a change can happen. And I want to tell you, in a religious world, it is so valuable for each of us to live a life, just quietly live the life where they can watch and see. There's a change. When something that should cause you to be upset, or an opportunity does come for you to get the better of another person, you choose not to do it. And you may think nobody's watching, but somebody will be watching. It'll be a testimony to them. In Deuteronomy, in the 5th chapter, the children of Israel are getting instruction. They have come out of Egypt now. They're under the laws that God is giving them. And so he's given them back in Exodus. He's given them the law. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And you know, back then he was telling them, I don't want you to do any work on that seventh day. I want you to rest. But you know, time could pass by and maybe the owner of servants would say, you know what? Okay, now y'all take care of this work that needs to be done. I'm going to obey the law and I'm going to rest. Well, you know what this Deuteronomy 5th chapter told him? He said, nuh-uh. I want everything that you have to rest. Don't work your animals. Don't work your servants. Everyone be able to rest on that day. And then he told him something in the 15th verse. I want you to remember that you were a servant at one time in Egypt. Stop every once in a while and remember that there was one time that you were a slave to someone and you weren't able to move about. If they told you to work, you went to work. It says, remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt. and the Lord brought you out. You know what? They're no longer down in Egypt now. They've been brought out. You know what? It's good for me to remember today. There was a day that I was a servant to sin, and God brought me out. And you know what? One thing it will do too, it will help me to have more mercy on the world that is lost around me. To remember, you know what? All they need is the Lord to lift them up and bring them out. You know, I hear reading old stories about quicksand. When maybe someone was traveling many years ago, when they're traveling across country, they're trying to cross this stream that looks like there's not much water but a lot of sand. And they step into it and it starts sucking them down. And they're trying to get out of it. You know, at that time it'd be real valuable if there was something that could just lift them out. Because I would hear about the best thing you can do if you're out there alone is lay down on top of it. Don't try to keep on working your feet. You'll only go down farther. But you know, it had been a great thing to have somebody that could be there to lift you out of that. You know, we're living in a time where all people need is that God would be able to lift them out. And the blood of Christ is still just as strong today. So help me to be able by my life to thank God for being lifted out. And I would like to still encourage us. We're living in a time where we're going to need to take advantage of every tool we can take advantage of. Because it says about Satan, if we will take advantage of every tool we can, it says we're not ignorant of his devices. We're able to spot something that is not even sin in itself, but it'll take up too much of my time, and I'll say, I don't want that. You know, I think we're coming on down. I've heard it all my life, though. We're coming on down close to the end. I don't want to be one of those virgins that time passed by and my oil ran out. I need to be looking every day as if it were my last day, because we don't know which one of them will be. And may I always be thankful, remembering. Dan, remember, there was one day you were a servant to sin. And you were lifted out. Now, pray for others. Be an example to others. Because the same gift that was given to me can be given to others. I am very thankful to be lifted out. Those are your prayers. Let's all be faithful to the Lord. No matter what happens, no matter how much more wicked this world becomes, it is so valuable. Jesus is still saying to us, I want to be like the hen does to the chicks. I want to be able just to make that little noise. You recognize it. You remember where it talks about my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. They will move when they hear his voice. But you know what? I can't be having too many loud things to distract me, or I won't be able to hear it. I want to walk close with God. I desire your prayers.